You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boom, Miss Rusty. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network, right here from Pennsylvania. Now, the PA podcast, podcast. And welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're already sick of my face, go on to any place you get podcasts and listen to it there, because there's great content. You might just not want to look at me, and that's cool. I'm all right with that. It's anywhere you can find it. If you're listening to this on a podcasting site and you want to watch the video, it's up on YouTube or Rumble. Either one. I don't care. You can find it. It's easy. Just search the Public Access Podcast. But you know what? It's time for me to bring on my special guest. And my special guest is right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is Cindy Hart. How are you doing, Cindy Hart?
Hi. You know, living the dream.
Living the dream.
I tell my teachers that every day I walk into class and they're like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm just going to tell you I'm living the dream every day. He's like, are you though? And I was like, well, I'm in school for criminal justice and I have a happy home life. So I guess I am. It's like, okay, so then.
Anytime I see it, I'm just going to skip right to it and just, I'm not going to ask you anymore. I'm just like, oh, she's just living the dream. So that works. Okay. So I'm just going to skip forward through that then. That's a good way to do it. So you're taking classes though now. You're back in the school. I think we were talking about that at that last show I was at. Were you just starting, or you were already?
I just started, and now I just got through all my midterms and I'm on spring break, luckily. Which is why I'm able to do this podcast today.
Live from Daytona Beach or something, or
more like my house. I wish it was Daytona Beach.
Yeah, is that where it was? Was it something like that? One of those places where people would go in spring break.
Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Miami. No, I went straight to my living room.
Hey, a living room. Sorry, I would choose a living room over most places anyway. Staycations are great. I'm all about a staycation.
You and me both.
it's pretty nice. Like, I can just sit here, and it's kind of nice. Like, when people are, I don't know, like the when there's holidays.
Yes.
Like, and I can just like be to myself for a while. Like, that's pretty all right. I can do that. Like, that's my staycation. I can just sort of get my time to myself. Getting time to myself is kind of nice.
It is. I wish I knew what that was like more, because kids, you know.
They don't come with you to Miami.
No, I'll just hide in my room and I'll be like, leave me alone. And they're like, no, we need everything. Like, okay.
Here's everything.
Come out crying. Okay. You can have whatever you want.
How old are your kids?
So my son's name is Jericho and he's 5. And
Okay.
my daughter is Alizea and she's 11. They both were at our last show up in Feeding Hills, which was really nice. It was Jericho's first ever show. And he had a great time. Like the wrestlers were going up to him and giving him fist bumps all night. He was about it. He was like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I guess he wants to come back. And this is after, by the way, for like 3 months of him telling me, I don't want to go to wrestling. I don't want to come see you ring announce. I don't want to be there, mom. And then he comes and he has the best time ever. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You didn't want to be here though.
Which, what happens sometimes with the wrestling show? Sometimes you got to bring people. You just got to be like, hey, you got to come see this. And then
Exactly.
they're hooked. You can't really explain. I was talking about this yesterday. You can't explain an energy of a wrestling show to like watching it on TV and being there in person. You can't explain what that's like to
Right.
someone who hasn't been to a show.
No, if you haven't been, you need to go. It's way better. It's so much better of a time when you go in person. It's not like they think it's going to be like WWE or something. It's nothing like that. Like it's so interactive and it's so fun and like I don't know. There, it's a better environment in my opinion. You know, better people.
And I mean, I don't know, why not I don't know. Then there's tons of places to go. There's probably some
Right.
wrestling promotion near you that you can go and check out.
As a matter of
And
fact, I have a show this Friday.
on Friday,
Yes, this Friday in Bristol, Connecticut, we're running.
what place is that?
Legends. We're at
Legends.
Legends.
Is that
Yeah.
the place that I was at? Is that what that was? Was that Legends, or was that a
The place
different
that
place?
brought to you by parking because there is none. Yes.
Okay,
Yeah, I like that. I like Legends, but I like running up in Massachusetts a lot better because all of my people show up because my people won't drive an hour and a half in the dark to go to a show. But they're like, well, if it's up here, especially with the late start time at Legends, if it's up here, it starts at 8. They're like, everybody showed up. We sold out our last crowd.
cool,
Yeah.
awesome.
So I was pretty excited about that. My mother, bless her heart, she passed away last Monday. She was at my last show. She told me she wanted to come to just one. Not only did she come, she came, she showed up wearing my shirt, wearing my Cindy Hart shirt. And I
Oh,
actually, yeah, I have it now. So that was really cool for my mom to be able, you could tell everyone was telling me, you know, she was so proud of you. And like, you know, it meant a lot to me. It meant a real lot to me.
yeah, and then yeah, that she got to be able to come see you, watch you do what you do, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel pretty good. Like, if I get someone, like, I tell people, if you come one time, it's all I ask. And like,
Right. Yeah.
it's kind of perfect. Like, okay, you got to experience it. Like, I don't know, because like I kind of feel, don't know, because like if you're not that if you I don't know if you're not that into it, like if you're there, like you enjoy it, but you're not like into it like someone like I myself would be into it. And like I get, coming one time, and it's like you have to be you have to experience a wrestling show.
Yeah.
And then yeah, to have your mom be able to do that, and then you come there with wearing your shirt. And
And I didn't think there was ever going to be a point where she could come to a show because she was very ill when she died. You know, she was on oxygen, she had COPD. You would never be able to tell it at that show because she was stubborn. Like, and you guys wonder where I get it from, why I'm stubborn. This woman, let me tell you, this woman She wouldn't wear her oxygen to the show. So she
Oh.
was there. She ended up leaving like right before the main event, but she told me that she wanted to see just one, and then she ended up passing away on that Monday. So,
Oh, gosh.
yeah, it was pretty crazy how that went, how it went down. And both my kids, like I said, were there too. So to have my mother and both my kids, it was just surreal to me.
Yeah, like that's something that's always going to be there as a, a great memory there for that. And yeah, like, so I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes you kind of wonder if people know that they're on their way, on their way out, then do stuff kind of
I
like
feel
that.
like I've had a lot of experiences where it sounds morbid, but I've watched a lot of people. I've held a lot of hands while people have died. And I really feel like they do because for like the last 2 years, my mom was like giving me signs and hints and telling me, hey, this is set up and this is set up. If something happens to me, this is where all the important paperwork is. And I would just look at her and I was like, stop being silly. Like nothing's going to happen, you know? And then all of a sudden, boom, it like within 3 days, she ended up in the emergency. Then she was intubated. Then she was put in a medically induced coma. Then she got better. They pulled the vent. And then she got worse when they pulled the vent, and she wouldn't let them reintubate her. So it was a big thing.
Was that spelled out, or was she aware of that at that point?
So she, while she was on the ventilator and they had woken her up, she kept telling me and my brother, she was like, pull the plug. I don't want to be on this thing. And she's been telling me for years, like, don't ever let me live on a ventilator. I will haunt you. And I believe her. So,
Yeah.
so in the hospital, it was pretty much me advocate and my mom's friend advocating against my whole family. For my mom, for her wishes, because she didn't want to be on that vent. And I made sure it didn't happen. But, you know, a lot of guilt comes with a lot of things like that.
Right. And
So.
I mean, especially something like that where it's like that's what the person wanted, and but like it's hard to tell other people that like this is like not what I'm saying. I'm like not like this isn't my choice. This is something that she like made a promise or made
She
me be a
specifically said and made me promise, right?
yeah.
And I'm gonna fulfill what her wishes because that was my mother. Like she gets what she wants, period. Even if I don't agree with her decision, I still have to honor it. And that's how I function as a person. So,
Yeah.
like.
And I mean, that's important. That's important to be able to have that. And like, I mean, so did people that you were around, did they not believe you that that's what she was wanting? Or was it just like, because, yeah, I mean,
It was
I've,
more like they didn't want that for her. So they were going basing off like they didn't really care what she said to me. They were just concerned, oh, well, she could get better. Well, the doctor already told me too, we can, you know, reintubate her, but then in 2 days we're gonna have to have a talk about tracheing her, which she told me absolutely the fuck not. Can I swear? Okay.
no, fuck. Oh yeah, no, you can swear. It's okay. Please do. It says motherfucker in the beginning, so.
I saw that. I laughed my face off, by the way, about
Oh, okay,
that. I
good. Thank you.
thought it
Yeah.
was great. But I went up to the doctors. I was like, absolutely the fuck not. You will not be coming near my mother with a trach because she said no, and that I know for a fact. So, no. Like, and
Yeah.
then she also told the doctors when she was of sound mind when she first came off the vent that she wasn't going back on. And they told her, if you don't go back on, you're going to pass away. And she was like, I don't care. So it's
Yeah.
what she wanted. I lost my dad in 2019. So she really just wanted to go be with him, I think. And I think she kind of knew that her kids were all set because I do have a brother by her. I have 6 siblings, but I
Oh.
have one that share the same mother and father. So tell me your dad's a hoe without telling me your dad's a hoe.
You got five other reasons to say so.
Yeah, six. I have six
Six.
all together, and then that one. So there's seven
Wow.
of us all together. Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay, there's seven of
Yeah.
you. Wow, that's
Pretty
yeah,
wild, right?
that's a lot. Did you all kind of know each other? Were you all in the same house, or were you kind of spread out apart everywhere?
I only grew up with my brother from my mom and my biological dad. My other siblings were all from, he had seven children from five different women. So
Okay.
they're all half siblings, but my sister, if you ever see a picture of my younger sister, she is me. Like, she looks just like me. She's got the cheeks and everything, and she's just adorable. She's cuter than me. Like, I just love her so much. Like, but yeah, my brother's the only one that I had grown up with, and I met all the other ones like in adulthood, almost some
Yeah.
late teens. Yeah.
Did they all live kind of near you? Do you ever see them and shit like that?
Well, my oldest two, my oldest brother, he's actually a former Green Beret in the Army, and he takes out pedophiles for a living, and he takes them out through the court doing forensic work. He lives in Nevada.
Wait,
So
what do you
he's
mean takes them out? Like,
so his job is very hard. He has to do things such as like watch tapes of children being abused and describe everything that he's seeing to get a conviction, to get the judge to convict him and the jury to convict the whatchamacallit, defendant.
holy.
Yeah, and he used to go and physically go in and arrest these pedophiles, but like me, he's disabled physically now, so he can't do that anymore. So now he does forensic work through the court to nail them, you know, phone records, stuff like that.
How fuck, I can't even imagine how fucked up of a job that is, like
I
having
couldn't
to
either as a
like
mother.
having to go through and then like having restraint once you find the people, and then being
Right.
like, my job is to like just get them to,
To
be
jail.
put to jail, yeah, and not like, I don't know, because yeah, there's a lot of people that take it into their own, into their own hands
Yep.
with that
And
kind of stuff, and like just.
I'm actually going to school for criminal justice. Like, that's the field I decided to go down.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see myself like being a cop going into this field because for people like that, I don't think I would have that kind of self-restraint. Not while having kids and I lost a child in 2010 too. So I've been through a lot of heavy losses in my
Whoa.
lifetime. You know, I'm having a hard time over here, but
What happened with that in 20?
so he died of SIDS, which is called sudden infant death syndrome. He fell asleep and just his heart stopped in his sleep and he just never woke up. So he was 4 months old when he died. And
Holy
I've had to
shit.
live with that. That one was the worst one. Even like my mom's a close second. That one was pretty bad because I ended up I had to do CPR on him myself when I found him. And his lips were like purple when I picked him up, and he was just 4 months old, a baby, you know.
And this was your
And
first.
he was my first. I was young. I was like 20 when I had him, 21 when he died. And so it was pretty damaging, you know. Like, I know a lot of people out there say that I'm like crazy and stuff. They don't understand like the trauma that I've been through at the same time. And I'm only crazy, you know, like when I'm pushed to being crazy. But, you know, ask Alan Compass about that. He got chopped at my last show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good then. Good to
Yeah.
get, yeah. By you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
They brought him
Okay.
to me. They were like, who wants to chop? It was PJ Savage. He was like, who wants to chop him? I was like, I do. They were like, yeah. I was like, yeah, come on over. They did. They let me chop him. Hey,
How
I
are
used
your
to train
chops?
too.
Oh,
Oh,
okay.
My chops can hurt. I have split people open with chops before when I was trying to, you know.
You look like your chops would hurt like a motherfucker. Like
Oh, they do. They do.
I would be hesitant to be like, oh, especially like, yeah, I don't know. Some people, but it's usually little people that have fucking these chops that will hurt you, like,
Yeah.
which is weird. It's some people, like I can usually spot who's got chops that are gonna just fucking hurt, but you look like you have some chops that would fucking hurt. Were you doing like the do you do overhand or did you do the fucking,
Oh,
I
I
guess
do
not like
overhand.
up like that,
I
but
come
I
in
don't.
half like bam.
Oh, you're a fucking, okay.
Oh
All
yeah.
right.
That's
Yep.
the best way to get the best leverage.
Yep. That's fucking right. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. So that's cool. You got to chop him. Mean, the ring announcer got to chop someone.
Yeah. It's
And
so funny because like I'm the ring announcer, but I'm the GM too, so I'm like always out at ringside, like making decisions last second, and sometimes it can be very sticky situations to make decisions from. Like,
yeah.
for example, last show, Steven Garcia went one on one with Flynn Noriega, and they both won. Both their shoulders were down on the mat, and the
Oh.
winner was supposed to go on to face Johan Nara for. At the time, we didn't know who the champion would be, but it was Johan Nara for our Ground Zero Championship. And both their shoulders were down. So I was like, okay, I guess the person who wins the title later is going to have their hands full because now we're going to just do a triple threat.
Oh, okay,
He's got both of them.
yeah.
Unfortunately, though, like for this show, a lot of people are getting sick and backing out last minute. And these are like reliable, solid people, so I know that, you know, they're not just saying that, but one's injured, like there's a couple calling in sick, so like this show is not what I had originally planned it to be, but I always make the best of the situation I'm given, and we do have some pretty amazing talent like waiting to get in, so we're still waiting to bring some of those guys in.
Are people getting the Rona? Is that what's going on?
I honestly don't know. My mom died. When she died, she had influenza A. So I know the
Oh.
flu's going around. I had the Rona back on Christmas, and I only remember it was Christmas because I make delicious prime rib and I couldn't taste it and I was so mad. So
Whoa. Because, yeah, like today's the 4-year anniversary of when it happened. When they shut everything down,
yep.
which is a moment in
Wild.
time, I guess. But yeah, I heard that, yeah, some people are starting to get sick. So I mean, hopefully, yeah, I mean, and but I mean that also means that as kind of shitty as it is when people get sick or have injuries, that like there's always someone there to step up. And there's always you get to bring in new people to work, you know, new angles, and you know, just have a little bit of you know, a little bit of spice to the roster. And it's always,
Oh,
I don't know, it
my
sucks.
roster,
It's
we got a very spicy roster. Spice is not a problem there. I
and
love them
yeah.
all. I do. We have the best roster.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed being there very much. It was a good time, and
I know. I wish you were around for the Massachusetts show. You would, that one was just, it was crazy. It was so much fun.
yeah, I mean, I might come up for one during the summer, because if it's in, then that means I could go to the water park there. And then
You could,
at
yeah.
Six Flags, and then go to the show that night, which
Yeah.
may be worth it. Because yeah, that's I'm trying to plan around the summer, but
Yeah.
trying to keep everything kind of to more of a minimum of what I do, so I can have more time to hit some water park. And get that time in when I can. But
That's fair. That's fair.
yeah, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I really liked the locker room, and it was nice. It wasn't like you want to go out and take off right after I'm done doing what I'm doing, or
Right, it's kind of like you want to hang out because it's a good environment like that. It's welcoming. There's no drama because I'll shank somebody. I already told him several times in the chat. I'm sure you saw.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm feeling shanky today. And Lou is funny because he'll say stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I'm learning it from your kids because his kids are Mexican, and we just joke
Oh,
about it.
okay.
And kind of like, yeah, I'm learning because his son does fencing, which is really
Oh,
cool.
shit.
But I'm like, he's teaching me how to shank you in the long run. So, just don't piss me off. And he's like, I won't. And he's so sweet. So, like, hopefully he stays that way. So, I don't get
How
stabbed
does
happy.
so he's a Mexican kid who's doing fencing.
Yeah. I think
And
that's pretty dope.
I know
But we joke about it.
it's yeah, it's fucking way dope. Like I mean, where do you find a fencing academy? I one
Right.
time, yeah, I don't know. I one time I found a jacket at a thrift store, and it was for this fencing academy, and it had my first name embroidered on it. And
Oh, no
like,
way.
yeah, I saw it was like it said foil, I think, on the arm or something, because that's like what they call something on it. I forgot. And then it had my name embroidered on it, and I'm like, oh shit, man, I didn't know there was a fencing academy here somewhere in Oregon. But so there's some that are like out there, like in
Yeah,
the
well, this one is it's actually through high school. Like they actually have tournaments through their high school, which in Massachusetts they do not do. So I was like really surprised when I went down to Lou's house one weekend. He's like, "You want to come?" Or he asked me before I even went. He was like, "You want to come with me to Jackson's fencing tournament thing?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we get there and we go to the school and we're supporting him. I was like, all I heard is you want to come support my son. And I was like, I'm all about them kids. Let's go. So we get there and it was actually pretty cool. And, he's pretty good. He's really good actually. And I hope that he sticks with it because that kid has some skill. It might be the Mexican or whatever, but he also. Also, like I said, I'm learning how to stab his father if he gets out of line. So, and I think his kids will just let me, honestly, at this point.
We taught Cindy how to do this. Did there ever was I mean, so is he into like Zorro and stuff, or who else does
He
fencing?
has never seen Zorro. And I was
Never.
like, your kid. And I looked at Lou and I was like, your kid is uncultured. You need to show him that movie. And a couple others too that he's never seen. I was like, I'm just so sad. Princess Bride, maybe, was it?
Or
I
Princess
don't
Bride, yeah, for sure. Like, and that's one that he should probably watch. Like,
Yes.
so what was he watching that he was like, I want to go into fencing?
To
Or
be
he just.
honest with you, I didn't go back that far. Like,
Okay.
I don't really know.
That'd
But
be.
I think it's really cool that he does it, and I'm here to support him any way that I can.
Yeah,
Because,
that's fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
if I would have had a chance to do fencing, I would have been. 'Cause yeah, I saw Princess Bride, and like, I'm like, okay, yeah, like that'd be cool. It could be,
Just to say, prepare to die
right.
with the sword,
Yeah,
like
that's worth it right there. And if you're not doing that before each
fencing tournament, then
fencing tournament, what's each? Do you know what each thing is called? Each
jump
like it's not a match or
a meet maybe.
a meet. Like when you go up and you're fighting someone, like a one-on-one thing is called like a, I don't know, like a.
To be honest, I'm just learning about it now, so
Sure.
I'm a little bit uneducated about it, but I'm learning. I'm learning as I go. Like I'm learning how they get points. I'm learning like I'm watching. I'm there for hours just watching. So I'm making an effort, a conscious effort, try to learn. But it's pretty cool.
So then, so back to the shows that are in Massachusetts now. And so those ones are earlier, like you said, 8 o'clock they start at.
8 o'clock. Yeah, we're gonna be running at Legends a little bit earlier now too. We're gonna be doing a 9 o'clock show. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Rob, I call Rob not Shay Slater all the time, and it's just because he used to be Corey Adams, and then he changed his name to Shay Slater, and I was like, I'm never gonna fucking call you that. So I call him not Shay Slater. Just like with Pete Dunne, I did it too on like WWE. I'd be like, when they were calling him Butch, I was like, I will never fucking call him that. So it's not Butch. So every time he come out, I'd be like, not Butch. And now it's Pete Dunne again. And I was like, yes, I won. I put it out there.
I feel like whoever you introduce yourself as in wrestling, like whenever you meet someone, like whatever your first gimmick name is, that's or whatever it is you are at that time, that's what people are always going to call you,
Yep.
kind of no matter what. And it's just the way it goes. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to be like, oh yeah, like. You're always gonna be whoever, like Corey. You said Corey Adams. He looks like he
Yeah.
could be a Corey Adams would be a good one for him. I could see him being a Corey Adams.
Yeah, but I just can't. Like, I know him as
Yep.
Rob from when I started, so like, I don't know. Don't come to me with these names.
No, right? Yeah, you're that first one. You're Rob. You're
You're
Rob.
Rob.
Like,
You're Rob.
don't try to change it up on me.
Don't. I'll never call you
Yeah,
that.
like when I met him, he's like, I forgot too what he said his name was. He's like, because when I met him, like he asked me then to do the to come do his show, and that was back in maybe May or something, I think, that he was having a show, that one with Bill Gertner, I think, was that one.
Oh, Savarios.
Yep.
Oh boy, that
That show.
show.
Yeah.
There's
And
like, I told the audience, I was like, I love all three of you.
yeah, that
This is that show was the reason why I stepped in, because there's a lot of people who will work for me but won't work for him. And kind of reverse goes the same now because of like stupid drama that happened a long time ago. Like certain people won't even look in my direction now, but it's weird. It's weird how things change just like at the drop of a dime. And yeah,
especially.
so like now ever since that show, I was like, and Joel Gertner, like, they told him like you can be rowdy, you can, but he went too far, and he made such offensive promos that I had wrestlers coming up to me and they're like, "Can you just announce us? Because we know you're gonna do right by us." And I was, and they asked him to leave. So
The
that's not,
wrestlers did.
yes, yeah. They were like, "We want him gone because what the he cut a promo that was so offensive that." Everybody was like, I don't want to be affiliated. Hunter Tarka pulled off that show because of that.
Did they not know who he was?
They apparently they do, but if I mean he was talking about like gross things, like sexually gross things, and it despite it being at a bar and everything, it just I don't know, that show definitely didn't do well. And I like when it comes to running up in mass, I know I can do well up here. I proved it the last show. We sold out that crowd.
Yeah.
Connecticut's harder for me because all my people are up here and they're not going to drive that far in the dark to go to a show for hours just to drive 2 hours home almost,
Yeah.
So it's different, but yeah, Saverio's that night they asked Joel Gertner to leave and they asked me to take over, and that's why I did. As you can see, like if you I don't know if it's still up on the YouTube or not, but the match between Jermaine Marbury and Steven Garcia, I wasn't even dressed to ring announce. Like I was completely unprepared, taken off, like sideswiped by it. So that was a last minute thing.
Cause yeah, I was like, where the like, I didn't know that he was. It was a weird thing backstage because I was just like, I don't know what happened, like, but yeah, I didn't know, I guess, the full story of what went down.
Yeah, so ever since that day, I noticed, I was like, you need help. He's like, well, I can't afford to book this guy and this guy. And I'm like, well, I can. So let's come together. And that's what we've done. And we've been working together ever since. We work very well together. He lets me just do what I want, which is what I do anyway. So that's pretty cool. and I let him just do what he wants most of the time within reason, you know.
Yeah, but
But
and
he's been one of my best friends since I was like 16 years old, so I've known him for a very long time.
how'd that come about?
Well, long story short, I got involved in wrestling when I was about 16. I started going down to at first DPW, which was in Waterbury, Connecticut, and then I ended up getting trained by the Promise Antonio Thomas and Kevin Landry, and I stuck with that for a little bit, and then I faded out again because of my son's passing. That destroyed me for a while to where I like left. I came back some years later and I was like, it would be cool to manage. So I've managed a couple of people. And I'm a good manager. If you ever need, like, if you're ever looking for anybody who needs a manager, tell them to hit me up because I am funny. I'll shoot some stuff out there, some good stuff. But I was like, yeah, I don't really have time for this anymore. And I took another leave. I ended up coming back because Liz Savage was in town. That's my homie. She was like, let's go to TOS back when it was at Rider's Smokehouse. So we
Where's
went there and
that?
we got, it's in Connecticut somewhere. I'm from Mass, so I don't really know Connecticut. I just know where the GPS tells me to go.
Perfect.
So it was at Rider's Smokehouse and they had like a nice like outdoor little bar and like little venue, and we just went there to go get drunk and like hang out with people we haven't seen in a long time. And it's been like years since her and I saw each other. And ever since then, I've just been like slowly coming back around. And then I started ring announcing. I was doing Shut Up and Wrestle until they went under. And I've been to places like I was out in Maine at Vacation Land Pro Wrestling. I went to Coliseum Pro Wrestling. I was their first ever ring announcer. But I was back then, I was a lot more like nervous and shaky and unsure of myself. And you could tell, you know, like when you're learning and you're jumping into this new trade, for me, it's like the public speaking that gets to me. And I don't know why I'm such an anxious, like, person. And I never like mean to be rude and not introduce myself. The way I was trained, you introduce yourself to everybody first thing you do when you get to a show. You go up and you shake everyone's hand. And I've always been like too anxious of a person to like do that, but I try.
It's a
You
hard thing
know,
to
it's
do,
very hard.
and some people take it very personal if you don't do
Yes.
that, and
Yep.
it sometimes it's fucking weird, like if you're there's people talking and you just have to like sit there, or like you interrupt them, like, oh, okay, hey, I'm Rusty, like, what's your name? Like, oh shit, like, I'm sorry, like, I have to say hi, but I and then or then but then if you don't, you just walk by, like, oh, that fucking
Oh yeah, they're
dickhead
stuck
just
up and
fucking
they're this and they're that.
kayfabing,
Yeah, all that. Yeah,
like.
so like I was always trained, you know, you go up and you say hi, you help with breakdown and setup, and like there are guys who are very well known in the area who have asked to be on our shows that I've told no. And I told them no for one reason or another, but a lot of the time it's the work ethic is lacking. I don't want to be breaking down the wrestling ring at the end of the night. I'm the promoter. It's not my job. Period.
Yeah.
I've paid my dues. I've broken down rings. I've set up. I've worked kitchens. I've worked doors. I don't need to be breaking and setting up our own ring for our show when, I'm not wrestling in it. I'm just ring announcing, and we need setup. And I'm also like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm also physically handicapped. I have a bad leg, a really bad leg, and I have lupus. So I live with that every day. And that's part of the reason why I stopped wrestling, because I wrestled in high school too. I was the only girl on my team.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I was some serious shit back then. Now I still probably got it, but not like I did then.
So when you were 16, though, and you were going into the pro wrestling, what was that like? I mean, because
It was.
I don't know. I like we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of fucking weirdos. Or do they
Okay, so
fucking take
let
care of
me
you?
just say, first of all, being a female involved in wrestling, period, there is always weirdos. I guarantee you, every single female worker, every single female ref, every single female who works a kitchen has a story. I have been physically stalked to a show, with a group of people who can vouch for me: Bull Dredd, Liz Savage, Nathaniel Carr, Picture Dave. These are all people that will tell you about this one fucking creep that wouldn't leave me alone. Wrestlers, they do try with me all the time. Even now that I'm like in a relationship, they try, and I shut that shit down because I'm like, I'm not. This is not happening. Like, I'm not here for this. Like, I'm here to
Right.
work. I'm here to do my job. And it's my hobby for me. And you're ruining my hobby when you come up and like, I mean, it's one thing. You can give me a compliment. I could take a compliment if you're going to say, "Oh, you look nice today," or "your makeup's on point," or something like that. I'm like, hell yeah, thank you. And like, I move on with my day. If you're coming up and you're trying to like touch on me or try to get my number or try to get me to go somewhere with you or follow me to my car or like, I've had some like, I want to make this segment called "I Can't Make This Shit Up," because I've had instances like there's this one guy at this one show and he was trying to impress me with his car. And I was like,
Oh,
first of all, buddy, I don't give a shit about your car because I am not a materialistic person.
yeah.
So then, like later on, we were like hanging out, because we have mutual friends, and he went to go like show off an autograph to me, and he hands me a restraining order on him from his ex-wife. And I was like, well, if the answer definitely wasn't no before, it definitely is now.
What was he trying to prove with that one? Like, it was like, oh, for like a sympathy kind of a thing, or like just to be like, yeah.
He thought it was like an autograph from a wrestler, and he handed me the wrong envelope, and it was a restraining order on him from his ex-wife.
Oh,
He was
fuck.
trying to show off to me to be like, "Oh, I know this person, I know that person." But the thing about me too is I see through that bullshit too. When somebody's
Sure.
just doing stuff to show off to me, like, you can't, not here. I do practice. I am a practicing Wiccan, and very little gets by me. I notice a lot of things. I'm an observer, but sometimes, and I've been scared away from wrestling shows because of creeps. I've had a few bad experiences with more than one. And if I name them, it would ruin them. And that Me Too thing, I didn't speak out because, like, I think a lot of people, a lot of women don't speak out because, one, we don't want to be called liars, straight up. But if something happens to us, we know it fucking happened to us. We don't want to be called liars when we're telling people about it, like, when we're confiding in somebody and we trust somebody enough to tell them about that kind of stuff, we don't want it backfiring in our face and then have a mob of people just be like, "Oh, fuck this person, they're a liar." And
Right.
that's what happens depending on the popularity.
Yeah, that's a big fucking thing with that too. Like it was I don't know. There was a lot of shit and but I don't like saying this either though, but a lot of that was a lot of the we'll let anybody come in here. Everybody's welcome here, and there was not like a good vetting out process to like not let people on the show who are fucking kind of like giving you bad vibes.
Right.
Like you're, you know, like you're saying, like, you know, it's like give much like no, I don't want this per like. And like, how do you say it? Like, you give me a fucking weird vibe. Like, I don't want to book you on the show. Like,
Right.
and then, you know, especially if they're someone that's, you know, whatever you say, popular or,
Yeah.
you know, like why aren't you booking them? Well, because they're a fucking weirdo. Like, watch out for this person.
Even that sometimes, like some people are just like shit starters. I won't book Dan the Man because he has drama everywhere. And he's asked twice now, and he's asked Rob. He hasn't asked me, but he had somebody ask me for him, and
Right.
I've told him no twice now. Because I don't want him on my show, and I don't care if he sees this or hears this or whatever. I don't, my show is my peace bubble. Like, it's a happy place for me. Like I said, it's my hobby. I invest in.
You got muted. Did I mute you?
Sorry, I got a phone call. I've been
Okay.
involved in wrestling since I was very young, and I just can't deal with like unnecessary drama. Like this now for me, it's a hobby. Now I want to do it to have fun. Anyone who's going to ruin that, I keep them away because, and yeah, I want legit champions. I want, you know, and I have some legit champions. I have Johan Nara holding the Ground Zero championship. I have Lou Jacobs as my heavyweight champion. However, I have to say, people are saying, you know, of course, because I'm dating him, they're like, oh, well, it's because you're dating him. But we made him champion long before that happened.
And if I was booking your show, I would have fucking put him as champion because there's a lot of fucking young kids on the show, and like that's a great way to fucking put the kids over, and that's what the show is about. So like having him as champion, I would in a second would have booked him as
Absolutely.
champion.
And actually, the idea wasn't even mine. It was Steven Garcia's. And as soon as Steven said that, he was like, if I'm going to drop the title to anybody, I want it to be him. And I was like, I'm cool with that. Like, I would actually like to see that. But also, like, if you look into Lou's history, like, when he does stuff with XPW, he's worked with names like R-Truth. Like, he's straight from California, and he was bigger out there. And now he's having trouble getting booked around here, and it's probably because of his age. And it makes me upset for him because, one, he'll keep those kids safe. And safety is a big thing for me because I've seen a lot of accidents happen. I've seen bones get broken just like this.
Yep.
I don't want to see that happen at my shows. And last show, we had an accident where Finai's nose got busted. So,
Well, that sucked.
during his match, yeah, and that was obviously not supposed to happen. I want everyone to stay as safe as they can while they're wrestling under my promotion. So like
Right.
we have like a strict no blood policy, and the reason why we do that is because they serve food like where we run, and we don't want the health board there, you know.
Right.
But it was pretty intense. Like, gotta say, when stuff like that happens, you don't expect it. It gets wild.
And I mean, then having him on there to work with the younger kids. I shouldn't say kids. They're not kids, but they're definitely younger than I am, and
Well,
been around less time than I have or he has,
I'm
and
no spring chicken either. I'm 35.
or you,
So,
yeah.
you know what
And
I mean?
I mean, it's good to, because whoever works with him is gonna get some of the rub from him to, and then they're also not working with some you know, like he can lead the match and, you know, take them and, you know, make that kid look better than they probably would any other way, or and get them probably to slow the fuck
Absolutely.
down.
Absolutely.
which is always nice to just be like, yo, just slow down,
Exactly. A
slow
lot of
down.
times I feel like a lot of things are rushed in wrestling. And even myself included, like when I'm announcing people, I need to slow down sometimes and like really just, just not rush everything because I'm nervous. And that's a nervous trait that comes from me. But yeah, it's definitely different being on all sides. Like being a wrestler was different because yes, it's a lot of pressure, but you're only out there for like 3 to 5 minutes. Being a manager, that's fun. That's just pure joy for me.
It's pretty cool. It's a blast. That
I
I
got to
think.
manage Dan Barry 1 year and Len Oddity, and so those were fun manage practices, I should say. And
So what was your kind of deal when you're out there managing? What was your like? What
well,
was
most of the
Cuddy
time,
your go-to fucking fuck with people thing?
most of the time, I was a heel manager.
Sure.
And I would just go back and forth with the crowd. I would, there was this like one time we had this show where they were serving alcohol, and there was this drunk guy in the audience sitting next to his wife. And he was really, really over the top drunk. And I turned around to him. And I said something about your wife must be so proud of you right now because she's sitting there looking like this. And I'm
Beautiful.
like, and I was like, your wife must be so proud of you right now. You feel like a big man drinking all that alcohol. He tried to jump over the barricade and get me. And so like, they took him. They were like, nope, not today. But, and that's just like the gist of it. The way it happened was way funnier, but you have to excuse me. It was a lot of pot of go.
Yeah,
But
right.
it was a long time ago. But I do miss the managing times. Ring announcing though, it's a whole nother world because a lot of times wrestlers will mess with the ring announcers. They don't do that to me because they know better.
You haven't got any weird or like especially long list of aliases or not aliases but like whatever they're known by as the like the Connecticut killer, the Massachusetts mangler, all this stuff, like go
Yeah.
through a big list of things before you say their name.
I
Or
mean, well, at like Shut Up and Wrestle, they let me do what I wanted to. So I would just make fun, like I'd poke at the pyramids of power all the time. And I introduced them as the brand new Disney princesses of the sandbox one day.
perfect.
And needless to say, they were not thrilled. So Noel, Aladdin, he starts yelling at me, and I turn around and I was like, I will slap the taste out of your mouth. Don't talk to me like that. He stopped. It was so funny. Then there's this other time where his brother, I forget what he goes, Pop Aladdin, whatever he goes by. He was tagging with Mills Hendricks, and this is one of my favorite moments from Shut Up and Wrestle because it was so funny because nobody was expecting it. He was tagging with Mills Hendricks, and they were heels. And at the end of the match, they went over. So I was like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this contest via pinfall, Mills Hendricks and his new boyfriend, the brand new Disney princess of the sandbox." And oh my God, it started war. It was so funny. Even Mills was like,
Oh.
what the fuck?
I mean, you kind of have to. It's you gotta keep it your way because you're the one with the bike. So, who's
Yeah.
they can tell you no later, and you gotta have a little fun, and
Yeah.
especially, yeah,
Told Matt
when you.
DeCourt he needs to put his foot down with these guys. Don't let them put their stuff on you. Like, who do they
Right.
think they are? Like, what are you doing? Don't let them put their stuff on you. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're a good guy, then in that case, okay.
Right. But it's usually not the good guy that's doing that.
No, although I do have to say one time it happened to me, and it was from Cade Lothbrok, who's a wrestler out of New Jersey, and he's a great guy. I've known him for like a million years, and when he came out, he was our first Ground Zero champion. And when he came out, he put his like weight belt on me. Like, and I allowed it. I was like, you know what? This time is cool because I like Cade. He's cool shit. So
There's definitely a good amount of cool people in the business. One person can hurt a locker room,
oh,
and it
yeah.
is an important thing to know. And I mean, I got very picky of where I would want to work, especially once I left the West Coast. Like I became like, I'll try something out once, and you know, like
If it ain't
if
for
I
you.
if I if I'm not feeling it, I'm leaving. Like, or if there's someone who just rubs me the wrong way, it's not worth it for me to show up and like be at a place where, like, I don't really want to do this. Like, and that's why it was great being at your promotion. Like, I was happy to be there, happy to talk with everyone that was on the
Yeah,
card, and yeah.
we had a great time talking outside too. That back porch was everything. I like that back porch over at Legends.
I'm a back porch kind of guy, if that doesn't sound too weird, but
That's not what
that
that means, Rusty. Phrasing.
right. That's where I like hanging out. I like hanging out there, and it was cool just getting to just shoot the shit with everyone, and you know, some of the fans there, and like even the fans were pretty cool. And it's nice when fans aren't running around trying to kill me. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. It's like, okay, I can deal with this. Like, this is cool. But
Actually, at our
yeah.
future shows, like we're hiring security and stuff, we have to because this last show in Massachusetts, this one dude who was in the audience, he was wicked drunk, front row, grabbing all the wrestlers. And I'm like, I'm about to go say something to him, but I'm like, somebody needs to say something to him. And nobody said anything to him. I
Oh
get so
shit. Yeah.
busy because I have so much on my plate on a show day. Like, I
Yeah.
gotta get everyone's information. I gotta make the card and make sure it runs fluently and like all the filler stuff. And so like, I'm already making a bunch of calls. So like, when I see stuff like that, I'm like, security is probably a good thing next time.
Yeah, and I mean, but security sometimes doesn't, like, I don't know. There was one time I was working security, and there was like, I don't know, because there was always weird run-ins and shit that would happen. There was some fan that fucking ran into the ring, and I didn't. There was probably five or six different security people working that show. Some fan ran in the ring and basically ran in, ran out, and like didn't touch anyone, thankfully, but like I didn't. I just thought it was someone that was, you know, part of the show. Like, it was like within one of the first few months of me starting, like training and shit. And I was just like, I didn't know. I thought no one smartened me up to like be like, oh, you know, make it look more believable. But yeah, just some fucking fan ran through, hopped in, ran in the ring, did a great job jumping, like sliding in the ring. It was one of the best ones I've still ever seen, and then got right out and ran out the fucking door of the venue, and that was
Sometimes
it.
it'd be like that. Maybe approach that guy and be like, so you want to train? You want to come train?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
sometimes I see people with like a natural gift, like Kylon King has it.
Yeah.
Jermaine Marbury has it. Stephen Garcia has it, like that natural gift.
Yeah.
For like when I wrestled, when I was training, it took me a long time to catch on to certain things or like get things down the right way. But we spent so much time on the basics that basics literally become second nature by like the third practice
Yeah.
because it's crazy. But yeah,
Yeah.
that gift. That sliding in and out of that ring. We have a comedian who's on my show, Eddie Diesel. And he's been going back and forth with Lou a lot on Facebook. So you want to hear a funny story? I'll give you a good one. So He's Kong Lu, like Dr. Fester or Mr. Fester, whatever. And
Sure.
I was like, it's better than being a narc because he's a cop. He's a Springfield cop.
Oh shit. Okay.
And he goes, what are you going to school for? And I said, well, I'm actually going to help people with what I'm doing because I'm going to be a victim witness advocate and then a disability lawyer. That's my long-term goal. And I said, and I'm not going and just abusing my power because I'm mad at my dad. Right? So
Nice.
he shows up at our last show, the Massachusetts show,
Yep.
walks in late. He's like, I'm so sorry I'm late. I pulled two kids out of a river today and I saved their lives. And I was like, well, now I feel like an asshole. Saying that you don't do anything, you're just a narc. And then you come to my show and you're like, I pulled two kids out of this river. I'm like, okay,
Maybe you
sorry.
didn't talk about the drugs they had on them.
Yeah, I should have asked. They were little
Yeah, the
kids.
little kids
So.
have drugs all the time. They're all.
You know, that there might be something to that. You know, maybe check the kids.
Yeah, what are they doing swimming out there? Or where they're maybe he? I don't know. Who knows?
I'm about to
Who
go
knows
through
what
all
the
my
story
kids.
was?
No,
Yeah.
I'm about to go through all my kids' stuff and make sure there's no drugs in any of it. Just to be
Right.
sure. My son's
That's
five,
true.
but you know,
You
it's
know
never
how those
too
5-year-olds
young.
start with getting some good candy. That does sound kind of it's. I don't know. I don't eat, try not to eat candy too early. Which is probably you probably should eat candy if you're gonna eat candy earlier in the day than later in the day. But well, candy does sound kind of good right now.
Yeah, candy like at like dinner time, like right after dinner, because then you get that sugar crash and then it helps you sleep.
And then you're out. And
Then you're out. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Well, speaking of candy, I might go grab some now. Where can people find you, Cindy?
So we did have to change our name due to some semantics over here. So we are now called Outcast Wrestling Federation. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can find my personal page on Facebook as well under Cindy Hart, spelled, you know, just like Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Jimmy Hart, all the. It's so funny because I'm friends with Bret Hart's nephew and his name's Matt Hart. And I joke with him all the time. Like, if we ever got married, I wouldn't even have to change my last name. We could be Hart squared. And he was laughing about it. But yeah, so like that's everywhere you can find me. I'm also on Instagram and I'm also always posting things to make people laugh. So
Hell yeah. Well, thank you for being on here and doing the show. And yeah, once the water slides start happening and my body loosens up a little bit, I think I'm gonna have to make a trip up that way. And
we got a show June 28th.
June 28th, that could work. I think okay. Let me
We'll talk. We'll talk.
yeah. That sounds
Yeah.
great. Okay. And
We'll
not
be
to
in
just try to book myself on a
touch.
show, but
No, that I'm talking. You're talking to the lady you need to talk to right now. So you're
perfect.
good.
All right. Well, hell yeah. Well, yeah, I hope you have a great rest of your day and good time on Friday, and hopefully that sells out and keeps that ball rolling there.
I hope so. All right. You take care,
Hell
Rusty.
yeah.
It was good talking to
Yeah, you too.
you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Cindy Hart, you guys, check out Cindy Hart wherever you check out Cindy Hart. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here and listening to the show, watching the show, whatever you're doing. And yeah, you wanna find me, go to rustydiamond.net. You wanna get hypnotized, hypnosisisgreat.com. I will hypnotize you for gosh darn near anything. Mostly. So thank you everyone for being here on the Rusted Diamond Podcast Network, and that is the show. Man. Boom.
Thank you.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.